This is podcast number 7 for the Well-Educated Mother's Heart. I'm Marlene Peterson, and today we're talking about notebooking. When I was a newlywed, my husband and I were both students at Brigham Young University, and it was my good fortune to be asked to serve on a committee that was organizing a special meeting for the women with Frieda Joan Lee as our special speaker. Her husband was Harold B. Lee, who had passed away just a few months earlier. Now, I know not all of you are of my faith, so I'll explain that Harold B. Lee was the president of our church. He was revered as a prophet, just as there were prophets in Old Testament days. To be able to meet his wife was a great honor. It fell on my husband and I to drive to Salt Lake from Provo and pick her up at home, and then drive her down to the event, and then take her back home again. So I got to go into her home and spend the day with this wonderful woman in a very close and private way. She shared so many personal experiences about President Lee and about herself and gave me such profound words of wisdom. I kept meaning to write them down, but I thought, how could I ever forget these things? But time passed, and I did forget them. All of them. I remember my husband got to wind President Lee's grandfather clock, and I remember Sister Lee falling asleep on my shoulder in the car. I remember how I felt when I was near her, and how I felt when I was in her home. But the rest is all gone. Not writing down the things I learned from her is one of the big regrets of my life, and no matter how hard I try to retrieve them from my memory, I simply cannot. That which is not written down is easily forgotten. Through books, your children are going to spend time with some of the greatest, noblest, wisest men and women who have ever walked the earth, and who are going to teach them priceless lessons about life and living. Notebooking is a way for them to capture and remember those lessons and experiences so that they're not forgotten. Knowledge of whole civilizations has vanished where they left no written records, and much of our learning washes away when we don't take time to write. In fact, the more we write, the more we learn. Very few of us retain much at all of what we read or study. One of my biggest frustrations is when I remember reading a story or an idea, and I can't for the life of me remember where I read it. There are a couple of incidents I read about that have been bugging me for months now because I cannot find them again anywhere. I can't remember what books I read them in. I've been wanting to find them because I can't remember all the details. And I kick myself that I didn't record them somewhere where I can find them again. That's when I knew I had to develop a different system, because as I've read more, it has become harder and harder to go back and find what I'm looking for. I've filled dozens of notebooks with quotes and ideas from my reading, and it has become unruly. Sometimes moms ask if they can make just one notebook. Why do there need to be so many? Well, you can, and if that works for you, go for it. I can tell you Thomas Jefferson kept a Commons book, and as far as I can tell, he wrote as he went along. That worked for me for a while, but I can no longer keep track of things anymore like that. Abraham Lincoln wrote down things on a piece of board with charcoal from the fire. His system worked because he didn't erase what he wrote down until he retained it in his memory. Some people have wonderful memories like that. I don't. That's why I have created so many different notebooks. It helps me organize my learning. I created a presentation all about notebooking where I describe these different notebooks that I'll link for you in the podcast notes. I encourage you to watch it if you want to learn more. Of course, you're free to modify them in any way that works for you. What I show you are simply suggestions that are working for me. There's not a right or wrong way to do it. I hear from a lot of moms who are confused about or are reluctant to start notebooking. It feels like one more thing to do. They're not sure what's supposed to go inside, and the idea feels overwhelming. I look at my notebooks as books of remembrance. A place to write down those things that I want to remember. It's like scrapbooking wisdom. If you have not yet found something you want to hold on to, then there's not really a need to start a notebook. The same goes for your children. And by the way, once you assign notebooking, you've killed the spirit of it. Instead, feed the desire in your children by letting your children see you notebook for yourself. Notebooking has become a popular tool among homeschoolers, but there are many versions out there. From the ones I've seen, the focus is usually on notebooking facts and information. While there's nothing wrong with that, I think notebooks can serve a much more meaningful purpose. We live in a wonderful time where I can instantly access just about any fact I need on my phone, which means I can devote my notebooking pages to a higher purpose than just collecting facts and information, although that can be part of it. I'm wanting to hold on to the things that feed my heart. Now, I don't want to duplicate what I say in the notebooking presentation here, but let me emphasize a few things. Did you pick up in the last podcast, in the description of Pestalozzi's natural method, this? They would draw pictures of things, make collections of leaves and flowers, and keep a record of their observations and discoveries. Through keeping these records, they learned to read and write. If you're wondering where the language arts are in the well-educated heart, notebooking is it. It is one of the ways your children will begin to learn to read and write in a way that is meaningful and whole, not broken down into parts, which can actually interfere with the process. Who teaches a 2-year-old to construct a sentence? You don't have to teach a 2-year-old what a verb or a predicate is for them to be able to form a perfect sentence. You don't have to provide vocabulary lists and definitions before he can understand new words. Vocabulary is acquired very naturally. Hearing the word in context is what makes the difference. A child listens to language and in miraculous ways figures it all out on his own. He's pre-programmed to do it. I'm glad I don't have to explain the proper use of the word the, because I don't think I can. But that doesn't get in the way of a 2-year-old using the correctly. My son-in-law is from India, and I'm watching my little 4-year-old granddaughter go through the process of acquiring language in English and Hindi simultaneously. She's learning the grammar and syntax and vocabulary of both languages just by being immersed in it. She doesn't have any problems mixing up the 2 languages either. And she's only 4. It's amazing to watch. Why do we think when a child hits school age, we have to take over and spell everything out and create worksheets and break up all its parts? Some of the greatest writers learn to write by copying passages of other great writers. Your children will get to do that in their Literature Gems notebook. Copy work is a fantastic teaching tool for language. If you read stories aloud to your children, lots of stories with rich language, their vocabulary will increase naturally, and their reading comprehension will be much greater than if those early years are focused on phonics rules and sight words. Studies prove that. Remember, their listening comprehension far exceeds their reading comprehension when they are young. Take advantage of that. In fact, after your children are proficient in reading, having your children read aloud, like Abraham Lincoln did, will make them better writers because they will feel the music and flow of language. Oral language precedes written language. The copy work in their notebooks will give them an opportunity to practice handwriting without the pressure of creating. I've seen a lot of little children whose first writing experiences are copying poems in their poem books, and they love doing it. After they have copied hundreds of sentences, when you point out that the sentences begin with a capital letter and end with a period, it will register because they've done it so many times before already. Their spelling will improve from copying, and if they are writing and drawing things they care about, which is the secret behind notebooking success, you won't have to constantly nag them. One mother shared that her dyslexic daughter really struggled with writing until she started hearing and reading fascinating stories of real people who inspired her heart. She created a book because she wanted to remember their stories and their words, and even though it was extremely difficult and challenging for her to write, she pushed through because it was something she wanted for herself. And her written language improved in every way. I read a biography of Beatrix Potter, and it said that writing came easily, for Beatrix could copy shapes of letters as quickly as she copied leaves and flowers. If you have reluctant writers, see if you can entice them to draw pictures instead. It helps them develop those fine motor skills in a pleasant way. Better yet, try letting them listen to stories or music while they practice drawing so they don't even know they're practicing. Notebooking is also a natural beginning of research and documentation. Your kids won't know that's what they're doing, but when they document where a quote or a passage came from so that they can find it again, they are learning an important research skill. John Milton wrote that writing is one of the last steps in the learning process, not the first. In order to write, you first have to be filled with ideas to write about. Notebooking helps to hold on to ideas until they start coming together in the creative process of writing. Another thing notebooking for the heart does is helps a child begin to connect with his own heart. Have you ever known people who have no opinion on anything? I have. Do I like this book? Was that a good movie? They have to rely on someone else to tell them. They've never been given a chance to form an opinion. You can start the process of connecting your children to their own hearts when they're very little by asking them before they go to bed at night what their favorite thing of the day was. Maybe their very first notebook can be a very simple notebook where you write down their favorite thing each day, and when they can write it themselves. It's a good reflective exercise and can become a source of great joy and can grow into something very wonderful. Notebooking encourages a child to read for meaning. He's on a treasure hunt for something worthwhile. If the books he is reading consistently yield nothing, he may say to himself, I need to find some more worthwhile reading. This is pure fluff. There's nothing wrong with a little cotton candy, but it will make you sick if that's all you eat. Notebooking allows a child to take from the millions of ideas and stories he'll come in contact with and begin to select those that are of the most value and worth to him, as opposed to just completing assigned tasks. It's that choice factor I talked about in podcast number one. I've heard it said that the art of living well is nothing more than the art of consistently choosing the best. This isn't something you can teach someone directly. It's a process each of us has to learn on our own, but you can model the process as you keep your own notebook. You can't hold on to everything. What are the gems, the diamonds, the gold nuggets of greatest worth? What is worth taking the time and effort to copy down and preserve? When my granddaughter first started her notebook, she copied long passages from books that struck her and that she loved. There's nothing wrong with that. But one thing you can teach your children is that they don't have to copy entire passages. They can copy just enough to trigger the memory and then write down where they can go to find the rest of the passage. Or if they find a story they love or an incident in someone's life, they can write just enough of the story to jog their memory and do the same citation. I suggest you use a lot of pictures. If you've listened to my other presentations, I pointed out that a single picture is worth hundreds of thousands of words. A single symbol can communicate layers of deep meaning in an instant. Carefully selected pictures that relay stories can do much to refresh the memory instantly every time your child turns a page over. This repetition aids in retention. I look for pictures in Google images searches, from the old online books, from old textbooks I pick up at thrift stores and I cut the pictures out, and from fine art images. We're putting together a video podcast, by the way, for those of you who don't know how to save and print images. Hope that will help you. Or if your children love to draw, encourage them to illustrate their books. You won't be starting all the notebooks at once. In the notebooking presentation, I suggest ways to ease into the notebooking process and at what age to introduce each of the notebooks. For instance, there's no need to create a reading log notebook until your child is reading chapter books. Before then, do something simple. Like my daughter cut round circles out of construction paper, and every time her little children finished a book, either that they read by themselves or that she read to them, they wrote the title on the circle and taped it to the wall, creating a bookworm that worked itself around the room. Just make a little face on one of the circles and get started. It was so fun for them to watch the bookworm grow. I wouldn't get big into notebooking until a child is at least 8 or 9 years old. Although my daughter said that once her little girl saw her big sisters doing notebooks, they insisted on having their own. The good thing is that notebook pages are easy to put in and take out, and it can evolve over time as your children mature. Like everything else around here, your understanding of notebooking will likely come in layers. Do ask questions in the Facebook group. When we get started in the monthly rotation schedule, I'll share my notebooking pages with you. Yes, I keep all these notebooks for myself. If you want your children to get into notebooking, then you need to do it for yourself, not out of duty, but out of desire. You might set aside Friday afternoons in the beginning or another time to all sit around the table and work on notebooks just to get them started. Put on some music and put out some cookies. Make it a fun event they look forward to. And once they catch on to its value, they'll do it on their own. And by the way, if you live in a school district that requires proof of learning, your notebooks will provide that in a tangible form. And now we're to the end of another chat, and I'll leave you with a poem about a notebook I aspire to be remembered in. Abu Ben Adem, may his tribe increase, awoke one night from a deep dream of peace and saw, within the moonlight of the room, making it rich and like a lily in bloom, an angel writing in a book of gold. Exceeding peace had made Ben Adem bold, and to the presence in the room he said, "What writest thou?" The vision raised his head, and with a look made of all sweet accord, answered, "The names of those who love the Lord." "And is mine one?" said Abu. "Nay, not so," replied the angel. Abu spoke more low, but cheerily still, and said, "I pray thee then, write me as one that loves his fellow men." The angel wrote and vanished. The next night it came again with a great wakening light, and showed the names whom love of God had blessed, and lo, Ben Adem's name led all the rest. Bye-bye. See you next time.